SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome to Opposite Picks on this Wednesday, January 25th. I am Scott Wetzel, sitting in for the next 60 minutes, taking your phone calls at 844-843-6879. Again, that's toll-free, 844-843-6879. You want to follow me on Twitter, send a tweet. It is at Opposite Picks. That's OPPOSITE, Picks, PICKS. Email me. Go to the website, oppositepicks.com. Hit the contact Scott icon and fire away. What's going on, LLs? How are you on this terrific Wednesday? Yes, hump day. Coaches fired system hits big time last night. Shots on goal hits big. Hall of mediocrity. No relief for pitchers. NBA's a joke. What else is new? The hype is real in Tennessee. Failing up in Cincinnati. And a new way to beat the boys in Vegas. We'll get to all those stories, plus your phone calls, pyramid plays, open parlays, and of course, Opposite Picks coming up on the fastest hour on Sports Grid. Yeah, what's going on, my fellow friends? It is a Wednesday, 3 minutes past the hour. Dreary day here on Long Island, but that's okay. No rain and no snow, so I will take it for sure. Yes, one of our favorite betting systems comes through last night. And I know we got the NBA, we got the Celtics, we got the Lakers in action, we got NFL football, you know, we have the NBA, all kind of goofy stuff. Yeah, we're going to lead off with National Hockey League Vancouver Canucks hockey. Yes, that's how you start a program, my friends. Coaches fired system comes through again. Cha-ching, cha-ching. Vancouver fires Bruce Boudreau a couple of days ago. They named Rick Tocchet the head coach. And what better team to face in a situation like that than the pathetic Chicago Blackhawks? Vancouver spot Chicago a 1-0 lead, but they end up scoring 3 goals in the third, and they win going away 5-2. Cha-ching, cha-ching. That's one of the best systems out there. Really is. It encompasses all sports. Doesn't matter if it's the National Hockey League, could be the NBA, could be the NFL. College sports is terrific. Baseball is very good. Yep, coaches getting whacked. Why? Because the players, they have mixed emotions. In either way, it helps them better. They're either happy the guy's gone because he was a pain in the ass or a hardcore guy or whatever the case. They just didn't like him, so they're thrilled he's gone, so they play well. Or they like him, and they're so pissed off, and they feel guilty. They let him down. They got the poor guy fired, and they kind of rally up and win one for the Gipper type of attitude. So either way, for the better, you can't lose. Can't lose. It is over the years of doing this stuff, and it's been a long time. It's right near the top, you know, outside of the death system, there may be no better one than the coach's fired system. So it comes through. How long do you ride it? You know, generally for just the one game, but I will tell you, you know, last time Vancouver fired somebody, the former Islander there, what's his face? Then they ran off like 8 straight wins under Boudreau. So, this team has had a knack for doing very well. So I'd play them again tonight. They're getting odds at Seattle. You know, Seattle stinks at home. Great on the road, but they stink at home. So I wouldn't risk all my winnings, but I'd put a couple shekels on there and see if the Canucks can, you know, get a 3-4-5-game win streak. You never know. So cha-ching, cha-ching. NBA last night. Yeah, the Lakers failed again. Late last night, it's a beautiful thing. As they lose at home to the Clippers, 133-115, despite the LeBron with 46 points. And I say that jokingly only because, you know, when you allow 133, I don't care how many points you get. I really don't. LeBron could have 56 last night, 66, 76. What's the difference? They're not playing defense. Both teams going just up and down the court. You score, I'll score. You score, I'll score. No big deal. They're all in cahoots with each other. You know, nobody cares if they win or lose or draw. It's just who can get the most points as far as personal, not team-wise. You got 133 LA Clippers? I don't care. I scored 46. I'm still on pace to set the all-time record against the Knicks. And I'm telling you, it's going to happen against the Knicks at Madison Square Garden. I told you that a month ago. And he's right. He's staying right on pace to be able to maneuver it where, you know, maybe he'll take a game off or so. He's setting the all-time scoring mark against the Knicks at Madison Square Garden. Put 46 on the board last night. So what? So what? Team gave up 133. Team wouldn't make the postseason if it started right now. for the second straight year, obviously. He played 33 minutes. His plus-minus rating, which I do like, minus 14. Second worst on the team, behind only Beverly, minus 15. He's on the court, in other words, and the Lakers are being outscored by 14 points. So I don't care if he got to 46. It doesn't matter. You're giving up more than you're scoring. Had a nice night last night. I will say that. 16 to 29, 9 of 14 from 3. But again, when no one has a hand in your face and the other team is laughing at you, go ahead and score it, because we're putting 133 on the board. What's the difference? So, congratulations to the LA Lakers. Suns beat up the Hornets, 128 to 97. You got the Wiz by 1 over the Mavs. That's interesting. Nuggets by 1 over the Pelicans. Knicks knock off the Cadavers as Donovan Mitchell shows why he will never win a big game in his life. And he showed why, Knicks fans, why you didn't. You won the battle and the war by not getting him this past offseason when it looked like they might. I'll explain when we get back. Opposite Picks, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back. It is Ops Picks right here on Sports Grid Radio. 12 minutes past the hour. Just going over a little NBA and a little NHL, some college basketball. Great game last night. And we got a couple of nice ones later on tonight as well. So pretty good slate on a Wednesday. Don't forget to tune in later on tonight in Play Sports Tonight with yours truly, as we are on from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern time, taking phone calls and talking betting. What else do we do here? Obviously, right? So last night we had a four-player parlay, paid 11 to 1 over LeBron James, 46.5 points, rebounds, and assists. He had 46 points points alone, so that easily was a winner. Jamal Murray, over 32.5 points, rebounds, assists. He had 35. That was a winner. Bam Adebayo, Miami, over 34.5 points, rebounds, assists. He had 44. That was a winner. It all came down to our guy, Donovan Mitchell. Never won a big game in his life. He's got 26.5 points. He's on Cleveland. He's from New York. Wanted to play for the Knicks. Knicks wanted him this offseason when Utah made it pretty clear they were going to trade him. They went back and forth, and ultimately he was dealt to the Cleveland Cadavers because Utah was just asking for just way too much. And I said at the time, you know what? That's okay. I don't want him. I don't want him because he never won a big game in his life, right, in the NBA. He just hasn't. It's why Utah has failed year after year after year after year, and it's why nobody takes Cleveland now seriously, because they still say, well, they don't have that real super, super, superstar just yet. So what happens last night? Mitchell with 24. His number is 26.5. Cleveland down 2. I'm thinking, all right, they either hit a bucket and they go to overtime, and I got a pretty good shot he's going to get 3 more points in overtime. Maybe he hits that bucket and he's only down 1. God forbid he should actually hit a 3 and the game goes over, or he goes over, rather. He has the ball. Typical Donovan Mitchell, final seconds. Walks the ball up the court, 13 seconds left. Tries for a 3, but someone's actually guarding him. God forbid someone should guard somebody in the NBA. What do I do? I'm not used to not having a wide open shot. So then he decides to drive in the lane, tries to barrel over like 5 Knicks, throws up this, I don't know what it was, shot, no good, not even close. Ball game ends, and there's Donovan Mitchell on the floor, saying he hurt his leg. Yeah. You hurt my wallet. You hurt your leg, you hurt my wallet even worse. 11 to 1. And we couldn't even get him to get the 2-pointer to send the game to overtime. He never wins. Just never wins. He's just not that good. He just, when you only have cap space to get like one of these monster guys, I don't want him. Is he going to keep you in the postseason? Yeah. Is he going to win you some games? Yeah. You're going to have hope, I suppose? Yeah. Are you really ever going to win? No, of course not. That's why Utah got rid of him. Couldn't take it anymore. So, yeah, regular season, terrific, down the stretch, big-time game, chance to make a mark, all your friends and family in town, Knick fans, you know, were cheering you on because they wanted to trade for you, and it comes up small. Smaller than small in the key moment of the game. Cost us an 11-1 shot, 11-1. And, I said yesterday during the show, I said, if we're going to lose one, this is going to be the one. This is going to be the one. I really do like the points, rebounds, and assists a lot more than just the points. I don't know how that all works out. You'd have to spend a gazillion hours trying to figure out would Bam Adebayo have gotten his points, his points versus his points, rebounds, and assists, and Jamal Murray. But I just feel more comfortable getting all three, to tell you the truth, even though the numbers are obviously bigger. So we went 3-1. We played them straight, but hitting that 11-1 would have been real nice. Shots on goal last night, yesterday, the guys we gave out, 9-2. Cha-ching, cha-ching. Kyle Connor, Winnipeg, 3.5, winner. Brian Rust, Pittsburgh, 2.5, winner. Florida Sam Reinhart, 2.5, winner. Boston's Patrice Bergeron, winner. Winnipeg's Pierre-Luc Dubois, 2.5, winner. Anaheim Troy Terry, winner. Anaheim Frank Vetrano, whatever, winner. Anaheim Trevor Zegras, winner. Vancouver's Bo Horvat, winner. Only lost on Marchand on Boston and Pedersen with Vancouver. 9-2 for our shots on goal. Cha-ching, cha-ching. We love this. We are now 217 up, 166 down. If you're a $100 player, you're up some $4,380, depending on the vig that you got. But right around $4,400. If you only played one, then you're still up $1,670, 32-13. Love those shots on goal. You know, when your worst day shots on goal was 2 days ago when we went 3-5, we salvaged the night hitting our last three. You know, that's kind of how this thing is. It's almost like feast or famine. You know, you don't go 4-2, 4-2, 4-2. You go 3-3, 3-3, 8-1. 3-3, 3-3, 9-2. That's kind of how it goes with the shots on goal for whatever reason. So had a nice last night. You couldn't imagine. And I tell you, we could have played about a half a dozen, literally more, and we would have hit all of them. You know, I love playing the guys on Florida because they all average over three shots on goal, and FanDuel gives you 2.5 of those guys. They were taking on Pittsburgh, one of the worst defensive teams. And that really had all the earmarks of playing like 4, 5, 6 guys. And I just didn't because there were so many other good games. You know, how many guys are you going to play? 20? You know, I mean, there are limits, I suppose. So we didn't. And lo and behold, man, all those guys. Last night, we could have had a monster night in the NHL. I mean, we did anyway with our 9-2. But, you know, we did our goal-scoring parlays. They all the big-time players all scored last night. It must have been the moon aligned the right way. I don't know what. But, and all the guys' shots on goal, the big guys, they all came through. So, nice little 9-2 last night, for sure. We'll get to the guys tonight here in a second. First up, baseball. Well, we spent some time on this last night, so I won't go too crazy with it. But, Baseball Hall of Fame turning into the Hall of Mediocrity. Scott Rolen, are you serious? Scott Rolen? Never, ever, 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 ever watching him did I ever say, boy, I'm watching a Hall of Famer. Not once. He had one monster year, 1-17. He's a .281 lifetime hitter. He didn't hit a lot of home runs, 300 or so. Didn't get a lot of RBIs, 1,200 or so. Didn't hit for a great batting average, .281. I mean, Hall of Famer. Are you kidding me? 76% of the voters thought he deserved to be in the Hall of Fame. Wow. Move over Bill Mazeroski and Sandy Koufax. I think Scott Rolen is the worst baseball Hall of Famer of all time. The worst. The worst. I mean, at least Mazeroski had his moment. At least Koufax had a few good years. Rolen won. One monster year. You want to tell me he probably wasn't on roids? Playing in a roid era. You want to tell me? Oh, okay. Let's just say he was clean. Still, one lousy year did he put up Hall of Fame numbers. Todd Helton, who did not get in, .316 career hitter over 17 seasons. did spend all his years in Colorado, but Helton's road numbers are better than Roland's career numbers when you average it all out. Higher batting average and everything else. I don't understand it. Billy Wagner didn't get in. Probably the greatest left-handed reliever of all time, him or John Franco. Franco's got two more saves, but I think Wagner was better. Didn't get in. Helton didn't get in. I mean, there were guys there that they could have put in if they said we had to have somebody get in. Scott Rowland. Nobody ever thought this guy was a Hall of Famer. I don't know if he's paying people off or these voters are just idiots. Wow. Amazing. Amazing. All right, we'll get to the NFL. We'll get our shots on goal, our pyramid plays, and Bills GM Billy Beane with some interesting comments. That's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. It is Ops Picks right here on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159, 844-843-6879. So NFL, the lines remain the same except for over-unders. Kansas City still a 1.5-point home underdog now. That flipped yesterday. Over-under is 47.5. It was 46.5 because both games were 46.5. And then Philadelphia still stays at 2.5. I still think the Eagles is going to flip. And more I think about it, the more and more I do like Philadelphia. Hate to say it because I have this Cincinnati-San Fran Super Bowl ticket, 60-1 on FanDuel. They're offering me 10 times my bet. So I'm hemming and hawing on that. I don't have a lot on it, but at 60-1, you don't really need a lot on it to win a lot of money, right? So do I take the 10 times my wager, or do I sit on it? I wish Cincinnati was playing first. I mentioned this last night, I think. This way I could have the Bungles win. Then they'd probably offer me even more, or then I could even just hedge with Philadelphia. The line is small enough. I could do that, but unfortunately, San Fran, Philadelphia is first, and Cincinnati, KC is second. I'd lose the bet. I'd be content just keeping Cincinnati in Kansas City and see what happens. And if I lose, then I just lose. I'm okay with that. I'd hate to hedge Philadelphia, San Fran, and then end up losing. So I just wish that was the first game, but it's not, unfortunately. So 10-1 versus 60-1. What do you think? I don't know. I think I'm going to, I'm pretty good with these futures. I told you that. I think I'm just going to hold on to the ticket, even though I do think Philadelphia is going to win. It's one of those examples of, as I told you on Monday, when you have a futures ticket, it kind of screws up your thinking. Like I would be all over Philadelphia. I really would. But then it's like, well, I already got San Fran. Well, so what's the difference? Why would I do that? Right. So, or if I really, really like San Fran, I'd say, well, I kind of got San Fran and Cincinnati already anyway. What's the difference? So, I prevent myself from betting by making these early bets, even though they're dead on, but it just kind of ruins, the weekend. This is what happened last weekend. Should have made a fortune last weekend, but I said, well, I already got Cincinnati and San Fran going to the Super Bowl, so no reason to bet them separately now, right? Doubling down on your money. Who wants to do that? And lo and behold, it comes through. So my only concern is don't be Eli Apple. He never covered a guy that could run. He's poking fun at Stephon Diggs yesterday. He's retweeting out Stephon Diggs' tweets. Remember the tweets he had about him and Josh Allen. So he's retweeting that at poking fun of Cincinnati or of Buffalo. And I just hope Cincinnati doesn't think they won the battle and the war. I don't want them to be content. Okay, everyone thought it was going to be Buffalo versus Kansas City. We got all pissed off about our tickets being sold for that game down in Atlanta, and the NFL wants that game, Buffalo wants that game, Kansas City wants that game, blah, 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 and they use that as a rallying cry, which is fine. I just hope they don't realize that, or I hope they do realize that that was the battle, okay? The war is still winning the Super Bowl. We got bigger fish to fry here worrying about where the AFC Championship is going to be. So an Eli Apple on a Tuesday still poking fun at Stephon Diggs, it's just kind of like, all right, look, forget that. The Buffalo's done. They're done. Move on. Now we got Kansas City. Now we got the Super Bowl. So I don't think that would be the case, but, they played that up. That's the danger of playing something up like that so much. that when you do get your revenge, yeah, okay, we'll show the NFL. Yeah, you think the AFC Championship game is going to be in Atlanta? Take that. You know, you just don't want that to then be satisfaction for this team. So we're going to get Nance Romo for Cincinnati, Kansas City, which I'm okay with from that standpoint. Tracy Wolfson and Evan Washburn on the sidelines. Both are fine, but, you know, none of them come up with anything. So what's the point? Jay Feely, you know, in 2 or 3 years, however long it's been, I don't think he's come up with, like, one cognizant story, one important little tidbit, nothing. I mean, a special teams reporter, even Romo, I told you on Monday, was making fun of him. Gee, thanks, Jay, for that bouncing kickoff story. And then you get the worst of the worst in Gene Steratore as the rules analyst. And you know how I feel about him. The worst of the worst. Never says anything. Waffle boy, I tell you what, you could have breakfast with him 24-7. Just waffle, 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 waffle. We know the rules, Gene, okay? Would someone please tell Gene Steratore, we know the rules. You're on TV to interpret the rules, not to give us the rules. We know he needs 2 feet down to get inbounds. We know he needs to have the ball in control. We know he can't go to the ground bobbling the ball. We know that, okay? Please interpret the rules or don't get on TV. What are you wasting our time for? Is he awful? Awful. You got to ask him 5 times the question, and he won't answer it. Hello, Gene, you there? Anybody there? You want to tell us, was it a catch or not? I get frustrated at stuff like that. I really do. So my son tells me there's a new thing, that someone's stealing our bit here. You know how we have the, open parlays? So he says the new thing now with the kids is an open parlay in essence, but they're using 10-to-1 shots. Have you seen or heard this? Or maybe you've done it? So I guess what the goal is to take 10-to-1 favorites and roll it over 10 times. And, you know, supposedly, he was trying to explain it to me. I didn't quite get it, but he was like doubling down on it. Like you can't double down on a 10-to-1 shot, Scott. You can't, you have to, you know, just take your winnings and roll it over. Let me see if I can find a 10-to-1 shot. They say they do it 10 times. Is there a college basketball? Has got to be someone favored by 10-to-1. 17-to-1, NC Greensboro. 3-to-1, that's not going to cut it. 25-to-1 is not going to cut it. Stephen F. Austin is 850. We could use that. Belmont is 12-to-1. Is anything closer? Anything around 950? I just want to go through this whole process and see. No? All right, let's use, we'll go the lesser. Let's go Stephen F. Austin minus 850. All right, you bet that. The thinking is you bet that. All right, let's say 10 bucks. All right, you're going to win $1.18. Now you take the $1.18. Add that to your $10 like we do. You're going to bet that. And now you're going to win $1.32. All right, let's keep track of this. Let's see how many, what it gets to with 10. That's one winner. Two winners, right? Two winners. Now you add the $1.32 to the $11.18. And what are you at? $13.50. $12.50, actually. $12.50. And you're going to win $1.47. What are we? Are we wasting our time? That's number three. Oh, sorry. Now we're up to $13.97. Good gravy. Then you're going to win $1.64. You're going to win like 10 bucks. I mean, maybe in the end you double your money. I just as soon, this was an exercise in futility, I just as soon make one bet at even money. Versus do 10-to-1 shots. And this is even minus 850, not even minus 10-to-1. So, I mean, you could do it. But again, somewhere along the line, you're going to lose. I just as soon just pick a game and pick them. And put $10 on pick them versus $10 10 different times on these 10-to-1 shots. Yeah, so that's the stick with me, boys. Just follow what we do, all right? We don't have that many winners, but we have enough where we're going to win some money at the end of the year, as we always do. So just stick with our six-team open parlay. That's the way to go. And, oh, by the way, we hit last night with Vancouver regulation. Minus 158 in regulation against the Blackhawks. We won $63. So we'll take that $63. We add it to our original bet, which we're using is $100. So now we got $163. We're going to put that on Edmonton tonight. We'll go conservative. Regulation, minus 235. They're minus 385 favorites. I thought about laying a goal and a half, but you know what? Just winning regulation. That'll knock it down a little bit to minus 235. So we got $163 on Edmonton tonight at minus 235 to win in regulation against pathetic Columbus. We'll win $69. That's leg number two of our open parlay. And we just roll it over six days in a row until we can cash out. So far this season, we're 0-5. Minus $500. We use $100. We start with $100, but that's okay. We'll get some winners for sure. Our underdog open parlay last night, we missed with the Flyers. Overtime, took the Queens to overtime, but LA wins 4-3. So we lose $25. So we're 0-10 for the season, only minus 150 because we always take $25 out when we win the first one. So tonight, you know, we'll hop right back on Vancouver. Why not? We'll play the Canucks here a couple of times. They won last night with our coach's fired system, so we'll grab them plus 146 at Seattle. Seattle stinks at home. Great on the road, but lousy at home. So $25 on Vancouver at 146 to win 36.50. And then our anti-Blackhawks Blue Jackets parlay. We hit with Vancouver last night. We laid the 235, so we only won 42.50, but we'll take it. Add that 42.50 to our original $100 bet, so we got $142.50, and we're going to bet Edmonton tonight. We'll go super, super conservative. We'll lay the minus 385. Why not? We need a winner at the beginning of the year. So Edmonton minus 385, $142.50 to win. $37. I know, not a lot, but that's okay. Leg number two, but by the time we get to leg five and six, this will be up to $1,000. Don't you worry. So we are set with our open parlays. Edmonton in regulation with our main open parlay. Edmonton against Columbus with our anti-Blackhawks Blue Jackets. And then Vancouver with the underdog open parlay. Opposite picks coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
LLs know what that music means. Time to take out those pad and pencils, get set for the fastest, but more importantly, most profitable 5 minutes in radio, Opposite Picks. What are Opposite Picks, you newbies ask? Well, we give you 7 games, 7,000 reasons why we like one side, and then we go opposite. Why? Because despite all the stats, trends, hunches, systems, injury reports, weather reports, and everything else, nobody but nobody beats the boys in Vegas. 3-3-1 last night, minus $30 with the VIG, so we're 66 up, 53 down with three pushes. Still good for $940 if you're a $100 player. Here we go. Another 7-pack, just like last night. All NBA. We're going to continue with this theme for a little while here. We're going to start with Orlando laying 6 versus Indiana. Two mediocre teams trying to show improvement. Magic last time out beat Boston. Nice job. Pacers last night beating Chicago. Nice job. But that came at home, where Indiana is 16-10. On the road, they're only 8-16. This game at Orlando. Simple play. The Magic, no? Yeah, give me Indiana plus the 6. Pick number 2, Philadelphia laying 5 versus Brooklyn. Red hot 76ers hosting the Nets. James Harden with a chance to get back at Kyrie Irving and his old team. 76ers, 5 straight wins, 10-2 their last 12. Wounded Nets, still no Kevin Durant. He's going to be out for a couple of more weeks. They are not winning in Philadelphia. Give me Brooklyn plus the 5. Pick number 3, Washington laying 3 at Houston. Wow, Rockets actually won their last game against Minnesota. So what? Well, they're only 2-6 after wins this season. They are not winning 2 in a row, folks. Wizards, a tough game down to the wire. Nice victory at Dallas last night. They're much, 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 much better than Houston. I mean, if they can win in Dallas, don't you think they can win against the pathetic Rockets? Love Washington here. Give me Houston plus the 3. Pick number four, Milwaukee laying 8 against Denver. Great game. Maybe an NBA Finals preview. Who knows? Let's hope everyone plays for Denver because they played last night, and you know the NBA. Chances are Jamal Murray and or the Joker sit, and the line is telling you both might, right? Why is Milwaukee an 8-point favorite? Give me Milwaukee, which put 150 on the board last time out versus Detroit. Maybe they're ready to kick it into high gear. Love the Bucks against the shorthanded Nuggets. Give me Denver plus the 8. Pick number 5, OKC plus 2 versus Atlanta. You realize Oklahoma City has the best against the spread record in the NBA? Better than Denver, better than Philadelphia, better than Boston, better than everybody. It's not even close. They are 30-16-1 against the spread. 14 games over 500. The next best team is only 7 games over 500. Keep playing OKC anywhere, anytime against anybody, and you're getting points at home. Give me Atlanta minus the 2. Pick number 6, Memphis plus 3.5 in Golden State. This figures to be a great game. These teams hate each other, so if we ever get a real NBA regular season game, this is it. Even knowing that, I still like Memphis. I think they're better than Golden State this year. Record says they are. Grizz 31-16. Warriors only 23-24. I don't think they could just turn it on whenever they want to. Memphis wins this game outright. Yeah, give me Golden State minus the 3.5. Pick number 7, Portland laying 3.5 versus Utah. Simple play here, two evenly matched teams. Portland is the home club, though, so we got to play them laying only 3.5 against a Jazz team that's only 9-16 on the road, right? Jailblazers at home, got to play them. Love Portland here. Give me Utah plus the 3.5. Opposite picks, all NBA we're going to roll with. Indiana plus 6 at Orlando. Brooklyn plus 5 at Philadelphia. Houston plus 3 at home against Washington. Denver plus 8 at Milwaukee. Atlanta laying 2 at OKC. Golden State minus 3.5 against Memphis. And Utah plus 3.5 against Portland. Opposite picks for a Wednesday, January 25th. Good luck, folks. And there you go. And I already have those on the website, oppositepicks.com, for your dining pleasure, is just the saying goes. 844-843-6879. We got our opposite picks coming up. We got our pyramid plays coming up as well. But in the meantime, we'll grab a couple calls. 844-843-6879. Dom in East Rochester joins us on this Wednesday. What's going on, Dom? How are you this morning, bud?
Hi, buddy. Isn't it nice when I can call with a little agreement? I had to call.
How about that? Let me guess. Scott Rowland?
Oh, come on. Jesus, are you kidding me? I don't even know who the hell he was. I don't even know who he was.
The mediocre player, bounced around the league a little bit. No decent defensive player, but 280 hitter. 280 hitters without 500 home runs should not be getting into the Hall of Fame. I'm sorry. And he didn't even come close to 500.
I know I'm a broken record, but I was never Donnie Baseball's biggest fan, but you know, hell of a player. And go ahead, you pick anybody you want on the Red Sox. I mean, who's more of a Hall of Famer, Petey, your Petey, or Scott Rowland?
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
Honest to God, and exactly. Petey's not getting in, right?
No, he's not. Nope.
No.
And doesn't look like Mattingly's getting in either. And I'll tell you, you know, I covered the Yanks at the time. He was a Hall of Fame player. You know, when you watch Mattingly play, you saw a Hall of Fame player. You did not see a Hall of Fame player when you watch Scott Rowland play. I mean, hitting his 235 and his 250. And then, you know, I mean, that's not a Hall of Fame player.
When I saw Petey play, I saw a Hall of Fame player playing also. You know, how much different was Petey from Derek? But, you know, Derek, a lot of years, hardly no injuries, and, you know, piled up the stats. But was Derek that much of a better player than Petey? But, I mean, I thought when they sent it to me this morning, when my boy sent me the thing about Rowland this morning, Scotty, I thought they were kidding me.
Yeah.
I thought it was like,
you know, And I was saying, Dom, if they needed to put somebody in because they don't want to have nobody and then the town survives on this, okay. But then they could have put in the reliever. They could have put in Billy Wagner. They could have put in Franco. I mean, these guys got 400 saves. They're top five, six in saves all time, over 400. I don't know what these guys have against relievers in saves. I don't get it. And Todd Helton's a 316 lifetime hitter. You're going to put a 281 lifetime hitter in over a 316 lifetime hitter. I don't understand.
I tell you the truth. I thought Donnie was getting in with that vote there, a little while ago. So.
I thought that was the Veterans Committee. Yeah.
But that's not what this is about. Scott Rowland. This is why it's the Hall of Shame now. It's becoming the Hall of Shame. That's the bottom line.
Yep. What else do you want to say?
No, that's it, buddy. I get riled up when I see something like this. I mean, honest to God, I was trying to. If they didn't tell me who he played for, I didn't even know who the hell he played for. I mean, he's a nobody to me. What'd you say? He had one good year. That does it.
Yeah, one monster year. Yeah, which he probably was. In 2004. But otherwise,
I don't know. What do you mean? You know what?
Yeah, I mean, he played in a roid era. We'll leave it at that, I suppose, right? I mean, never hit 35 home runs. The numbers speak. 316 home runs are nice, but that's not Hall of Fame. Less than 1,300 RBIs, that's nice, but that's not Hall of Fame worthy, and certainly 281 is not Hall of Fame worthy. I don't know what they were pointing to say, okay, this is what makes him a Hall of Fame player because what? Because he was good defensively? I mean, there's a zillion guys that are good defensively. Get you in a Hall of Fame.
Was it St. Louis? Was it St. Louis?
He played Philadelphia, St. Louis mostly, and then Cincinnati too. A couple of years in Toronto.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, not St. Louis. No, Mark McGwire made sure of that.
Absolutely. Well, he had some stuff, but it wasn't roids.
Yeah, yeah. So
he had that Android or something.
Yeah, interesting. So and they put him in. What are you going to do?
So we have a Wednesday. We have a Wednesday with you and I having an agreement. How do you like that?
Yeah. How about that? I think most people are in agreement. So good call, Don. Appreciate it. Appreciate the phone call. All right, man. 844-843-6879. Okay. Sounds good. The numbers just, like I said, speak for themselves. 281 says it all, but when you read them down year by year, 266, 259, 278, 286. Did have that monster year, 314, 235. Had to hit a 296 in 2006. 265, 262. I mean, 270, 285, 242, 245. And that's the guy they think should be in the Hall of Fame. Meanwhile, you got a guy who's a lifetime 316 hitter, albeit at Coors Field. I get that. But, listen, don't have baseball then at Coors Field. If you're never going to acknowledge the guy did well because he played at Coors Field, then, why have baseball in Colorado? Everybody, Fenway Park, hitter's ballpark. Yankee Stadium, hitter's ballpark. Cincinnati, gosh, hitter's ballpark. Down in Texas, you and I could hit home runs. There's a gazillion ballparks. They're all hitting home runs now. And his numbers, the splits aren't that bad. 286 lifetime hitter on the road is Todd Helton. That's better than this 281 for Scott Rowland. Never hit 40 home runs. Never hit 35 home runs. Had 100 RBIs five times, which is halfway decent. I'll grant you that, but nothing crazy in 17 years. He's just a mediocre, he's maybe above average. 70s, it's the fascination of Scott Rowland. I remember thinking this last year, too. It was like, are you kidding me? Wow. Crazy. All right, let's do our pyramid plays, shots on goal. Pyramid plays from yesterday. Winner, 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 winner. Hit all five. College basketball with Clemson, NBA with Indiana, props under 26.5 points, Jalen Brunson, NHL Vancouver, and shots on goal, Patrice Bergeron. So nice little 5-0. We clear the slate with our pyramid plays. Tonight, where are we going to go? We'll start in college basketball. Houston laying 10.5 at Central Florida. Don't generally lay double digits, but Houston lost its last time out against Temple at home. They are going to be fired up beyond belief. I think they're going to crush Central Florida. If they don't, then you know something's wrong with this Houston team. NBA, best play, I'll take OKC plus the 2 at home against Atlanta. As we mentioned in opposite picks, best against the spread record by far. Not even close in the NBA. Best prop, over 37.5 points, rebounds, assists, as we always play with James Harden. And then NHL, best play, Columbus stinks. They're battling Chicago for the worst record in the NHL. So give me Edmonton minus 1.5 goals, minus 160 versus Columbus. Shots on goal, we only have 5, limited schedule tonight. We'll go with Brock Nelson of the Islanders, 2.5. We'll go with Brady Tkachuk, 3.5, Ottawa. Alex DeBrincat, 3.5, Ottawa. And then we'll go with Martin Natchez, 2.5 for Carolina. And Zach Hyman. You know what? We'll throw Draisaitl in there instead. Let's go Draisaitl 3.5 over Hyman. We'll keep it nice. Draisaitl, Natchez, DeBrincat, Tkachuk, and Nelson. Cash them tonight, my friends. Back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. It is Opposite Picks right here on Sports Grid Radio. Let's throw a couple stories at you that we didn't have too much time to delve into. How about Bills general manager Brandon Bean? When talking about how good the Cincinnati Bungles are and what the Bills have to do to get to that spot, he said, well, I don't want to have to suck so bad to have to get Ja'Marr Chase. You got to go through some lean years to do that. Again, if you don't know, so you got to go through some lean years to do that. he did actually say suck. I don't want to suck bad enough to have to get Ja'Marr Chase. Kind of saying like, you know, they hit rock bottom and we don't want them to go rock bottom. It sounds worse than what he really kind of meant. He just meant like, you know, they were bad for a long time and they didn't really grab them. But again, you know what? It is one of the most overrated things in all of sports. NFL draft positions outside of the top 5. If you know what you're doing as a GM, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. You know, you could have the best draft choice in the world, but if you're clueless as a GM, it doesn't matter. Jets drafted Zach Wilson, number 2 overall. Number 2. They couldn't get a 7th round pick for Zach Wilson right now. He's so bad. Bengals drafted T. Higgins in the 2nd round. So if, as a GM, if you know what you're doing, it doesn't matter where you're drafting. It really doesn't. How about Nick Saban? Someone found some comments on him on Brock Purdy when they were getting ready to draft him, 2018. You're below average in height, your arm strength is whatever, and your accuracy is average. Yeah, I guess you swung and missed on that one there, Nicky Quick. Tennessee gives head coach Josh Heupel a contract extension, putting him behind only Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, and Brian Kelly as the highest paid SEC coaches. He's done a great job at Tennessee, I must say. Turned that program around just like that, just like that. You know, Devils win again last night. You know, they're 15-1 to win the Stanley Cup championship. We're going to get into that a little bit later on tonight, some NHL odds. I mean, they have the second best point total in the Eastern Conference, and they're still 15-1 to win it all. Boy, the Eastern Conference is going to be a war. Come playoff time, boy, it is going to be just a war with all the good teams. So enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. I'm on with Donnie in an hour. Don't go anywhere. We'll talk to you then on Sports Grid Radio.